Dear Brittany, in the time it takes to write you this letter, I am hoping that the waffle iron I borrowed from my grandmother Betty Ann will be heated. I only break it out on Sunday mornings when time seems to slow down further still in the South. Growing up, we went to church on Saturday, but Sunday mornings were holy. Sundays meant my mother, Miss Jackie, breaking out her grown folk records and spending time with herself. I hear Al Jarreau's One Good Turn, and I see my mother dancing a mop across the kitchen floor, and I understood watching her with her records that she was in communion with herself and her stories. Down South, our music gives us a closer understanding of one another. It spans generations and defies color lines. Our songs sing the unspeakable. When I listen to your record, Jamie, and you're singing about your black country girl childhood in Athens, Alabama, I'm visited by memories of my own black girl country mysticism. You sing life to what I find sacred in the South. I'm no longer a churchgoer, but ain't that holy? Best, Adia Victoria. Welcome to Call and Response from Sono Sound System, the show about the communal spirit of music making and listening. I'm Adia Victoria. I'm a musician, a poet, and a writer based in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm a black woman from the Deep South, leaning into the blues to make sense of this world. Today on Call and Response, my interview with Brittany Howard. You might know her as the front woman of the Alabama Shakes, who went solo in 2017 to make her debut album entitled Jamie. Brittany was nominated for 6 Grammys this year and became the second woman ever to win the Grammy for Best Rock Song. But perhaps most importantly of all, Brittany is a Southerner just like me. She grew up on her father's junkyard in Athens, Alabama, and recently she served as a guest editor of one of my favorite publications, the Oxford American, for their Southern Music issue. In that issue, she wrote a short essay called The South Just Has a Thang, where she does the nearly impossible. She tries to define the South, its contradictions, its beauty, how it gets into your blood and never leaves, no matter how far off you travel. Y'all, this conversation, it covered so much. We touch on everything from isolation and life and during the pandemic, why musicians are best positioned to tell the story of the South, and growing up mixed and queer in Alabama, and how both her grandmothers introduced her to music that let Brittany see the South with brand new eyeballs. After that, I'll guide you through a playlist of music inspired by my conversation with Brittany Howard. And this week, I'll be joined by a very special guest, my mama, Miss Jackie Paul Sims.
It's so nice to join you, Sugar.
Hi, Mama.
Thanks for having me on your show, Adia. You're all going to want to listen to our playlist that we made for this episode. It's on Sonos Radio and on Mixcloud at mixcloud.com/Sonos. We'll leave a link to the playlist in the show notes.
And now, here's my conversation with Brittany Howard. Hey, Brittany.
Hey, Dia.
Where are you joining us from today?
Nashville. You know, I tried to live several places, but I like living in the South.
Okay. I didn't realize if you were like out and about, like, you know, sitting on a mountaintop somewhere in Colorado. You never know with Miss Brittany Howard where she is.
No, but that sounds good.
Yeah.
I'm too lazy.
You know, it's funny. So I haven't done much in quarantine myself. Like I've been very limited engagement as far as the music biz is concerned. But one of the cool things that I did get to do was I got to contribute to the Southern Music issue of the Oxford American that you guest edited back in, I think it was like October, November.
Mm-hmm.
You put Sister Rosetta Tharpe on the cover.
Jesus is the holy light, turning darkness into light. There are strange things happening every day.
Mm-hmm. But I loved your editor's letter. The title of the letter was, The South Just Has a Thang.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you started talking about what that thang was.
Yeah, tried to. It's hard. When Oxford American approached me about being a guest editor, I wanted to talk about the South, but I didn't really know what to say. Because first off, everybody's been talking about the South for like, I don't know, 100-some years. What do I have to add?
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was sitting down, I was trying really hard to just, you know, what's my experience, you know? And I would just say, you know, it's not unlike anybody else who came from here. So I just kind of described how this thing that the South has is so elusive. And that's kind of what I wrote about. How do I tell you about my grandmother's hands kneading biscuits? How do I tell you about the sound of the June bugs flying through the air? How do I tell you about the catfish jumping in the pond? How do I tell you about this? How do I tell you about that? You know, it's just experiences. And, you know, I write about how the South is just in you. It just gets into you. And it's just this own pace, this own rhythm.
I love it, though. You know, you were talking about pecans and snapping peas. And, you know, you were talking about the sound of your family. And I thought about what the South sounded like for me. And I was like, it's not just a sound. It's a feeling. It's a taste.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's when I wanted to talk about what makes music in the South different from everywhere else. And it's like, man, it's one of those things. You're just going to have to listen to this and feel what you feel.
Why do you think that the South, her musicians have been her best historians?
I think it really comes down to when you hold people down, the need to express is even greater. These musicians, they have so much they want to say. They have so much they want to express. And throughout our history and as Southerners, I don't think anyone really tells it better than people trying to get out what they need to get out
right. And
express their freedom the only way that they can, which a lot of times is through art.
Yes. I watched an interview that you did with Rolling Stone about Nina Simone. And one of the things that you admired is that she ran the entire gamut of emotions. Like you were talking about when she went on stage, she wasn't initially, it was obvious she didn't really want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And she just walked you from every emotion from that to, by the end, dancing on it.
Mm-hmm.
Just, she had something to say.
Yeah, you know, and Nina, she went through a lot of stuff. She was angry, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's our icons. And they don't got to be perfect. They don't have to look a certain way, sound a certain way. They just got to be unequivocally themselves. And as complicated that is, it's just a reflection of how we are. And we love her. We hold her dear, you know, despite everything.
Mm-hmm.
Nina held a lot of pain. You could hear it and you could see it. And it's something, for whatever reason, especially in our society, in America, we don't want to talk about pain. Everybody wants to be like, ah, I'm all right. Yeah, I'm seeing a therapist. It's all good. I'm going to take care of it. No more pain for me. But that's how we relate to each other. It's okay. It's okay to be in pain. It's okay to feel that pain. It's okay to share that pain. To me, that's the thing that was most appealing of artists, is where there's great pain, there's also great beauty. You know, that's planting something. And, you know, in the South, you know, we could come back around and just be like, in the South, Lord, what's their pain?
Yes.
And that is in the ground, and that is in the trees, and that is in everything around us. But look how beautiful it is here. Look how beautiful it sounds here.
Mm. I was reading that Southern music issue in the Oxford American that you guest edited. You featured Yusuf Komunyakaa, who's one of my favorite poets. He did an essay on Howlin' Wolf. It was called On the Edge of Diminished Light. And Yusuf said on Howlin' Wolf's voice, the voice was rooted in the earth and sweat and blood and was hard to forget. Thunder in a whisper. It sang the country, the deep woods, a delta mud, a place, a mood I knew by heart. And I think about, I can still remember the first time I heard Smokestack Lightning walking down the street in Atlanta and just stopped me. Because it was speaking me.
Well, tell me, baby, what's don't matter, yeah, but don't you hear me cry?
I felt that same sense of knowing listening to your debut solo record, Jamie. You know, I was in Nashville when the Alabama Shakes popped off.
Well, I traveled a long way, and it took a long time.
And I loved y'all. I was like riding and dying with y'all throughout those records. But Jamie was something that I could hear my little Southern Black girl being spoken to. I'm curious, what was it about that record that you wanted to do on your own?
You know, I didn't have a plan. I still don't have a plan. I don't make plans. I just do. And I just, if I can be still and if I can get my mind to shut up for a second, then I can receive. And the only thing I wanted to talk about around that time was just me, where I had been, what made me, what are my stories. I feel like with Alabama Shakes, it's like, I guess I could have done that, but I just don't think I was confident enough. I feel like with my dudes, we were creating something together. With Meg and Jamie, I wanted to go and make something for me, for my ancestors, yes, for my family. I needed to use my name. I needed to be seen. I needed to be heard. And not just for me. For those who came before me and for those around me, and just make something. And you know, like, it could be a horrible idea. It was just me. It's what was coming to me. And that's right. That's what I put out.
I sat for a long time with the track Georgia, where you were talking about, you know, as a child, having this infatuation with another girl and just wanting to be seen by her.
Mm.
I just want Georgia to notice me. I just want Georgia to notice me. I just want Georgia. Georgia.
And how that could mean so many different things, you know, wanting to be seen by the South.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, I ain't no little boy.
I love that. That was sharp. That was cold.
I was like, oh. Yeah, Georgia's actually my favorite song off the record. It was just like, I had never heard like a love song like that.
Mm.
And that's why I wanted to do it. Just something sweet, something innocent. I wanted to use the name Georgia because that's just the name that we have used to insinuate beauty, to insinuate love. Like, yes. Georgia, it's a beautiful name. And, you know, Ray Charles did it. Lots of people use it. Mm-hmm. I wanted to use the same name, and I wanted to also represent, you know, gay love. It's beautiful, yes, too, y'all. You know what I mean? And I just, yes, wanted to write something like that.
You've spoken a lot in interviews in the past about feeling alien growing up and feeling, you know, different, othered. And I feel like this record, it kind of provides a sort of utopia for people that have felt that way. I feel so much possibility and visions of the future, you know, throughout that record, Jamie, and how you're able to, I don't know, speak to that kind of Southern, Black, queer, othered, you know, isolation in these songs.
Yeah, that's a good word to use, isolation. That's how I learned to do everything that I do. I taught myself how to play instruments in isolation and created these worlds in isolation, which made me want to make more music.
Right.
Isolation is what taught me how to do things. And it's kind of like, you know, when it comes to personal life, it's kind of like, now I have to undo a lot of the isolation.
Right.
And I got to get, you know, because there's a world full of people. I got to live with people, man, you know.
Right.
So I'm working on that. Now I'm learning how to do that, but the music thing and all that, that's what I relied on through my childhood to just make some place that was mine, to have some control.
You did something really interesting on this record. You know, you just spoke about how you wanted to create these worlds that you could feel known in. And I thought about the way that you were keeping time with this record. Like, there's songs where the tempo just slows down. Like, and when you slow the songs down, I can feel that Southern heat. I can feel that way that we live in time down here in the South. I'm thinking about the end of your track, Baby, where you just, it just kind of almost gets like a chopped and screwed kind of tempo. It just slows down like honey.
Yeah, it just falls apart. And it's just kind of like, it's kind of like one of those relationships where you just like, at the end of it, just kind, yeah, of just disintegrates and falls apart. And it was what it was. No cute little wrapped up endings.
Mm-mm. I loved in that letter, your editor's letter, you said, I know we can all agree time runs differently here. It has its own time signature with its own rhythm. The beat doesn't always land on time. I felt on this record you were really embodying that. Like, let me show you what time can do.
It's true. show you what time can do, what space can do. You know, one of my things that I like to do when I'm making music is pile everything on. You know what I'm saying? Have all your ideas at once and pile it on till you have like these huge stacks, and then take it all away and just get to like the really basic thing of like, oh, this is what makes this interesting. I could play with something forever like that. You know, it's important. I learned to have space, because in that space is where people can really hear what you're talking about and they can think at the same time as listening. And I want people to wander around my music and think, I don't know, think about whatever they're thinking about in their life. You know, it don't have to be about me or what I'm saying. Just like music used to be like that. Music used to allow you to think about your own self. I think that's a good thing. I think that would help the world out a lot if people were more aware of their own selves and not just like looking at everybody else saying, why aren't you more like me? You know?
Right. So something that I respond to in your music and in your interviews is when you talk about how people don't see one another, how we assume things about one another based on how we look or what job we have and how we've been socialized to interpret the appearance of the other. Can you tell me about how that has shaped you as a person or as an artist?
Yeah. You know what I mean? I used to have this job. I used to be an outdoor janitor. It's called a porter. And all day long, I would just pick up cigarette butts and, like, I mean, dead animals, garbage, whatever, put it in this little bucket. But you would watch people the whole time. You would just see how people would act, how they would act towards me. I remember this little boy was like, Mommy, is she in jail? Not in jail. Teach your kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This Target looks nice because of me. I just want people to become more conscious of what they're living in. You know what I mean? Like, just be more conscious about what your deal is. Because if you deal with yourself, you're not going to cause this chain reaction of ugliness.
That's right.
You're not going to be a dickhead. You know what I'm saying? Like, take care of yourself first and then see what the world does for you. It's not hard stuff.
Right.
It's really simple stuff. Evolving consciousness is not valued in our society.
No.
In our society, it's the car you got, it's the house you got, it's the shoes you got on, it's how much money's in your bank account, it's the watch you wear, it's who you're sleeping with. Like, people put so much value on this and then wonder why they feel so miserable.
Right.
I'm not saying nothing new, but I'm just saying.
You know, I've had to reckon with a lot of that during quarantine, girl, like my ego, that part of me that, is trying to externalize so people can realize who I am or who I think I need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about the seed of that is anxiety, how my anxiety can make me do that, but it can also put me at a standstill where I can't move.
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening to your song Tomorrow, and you had this lyric that I felt was kind of like, it was reading me. It's like, we always talk about tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But now that we're here without lifting a finger, how do you figure we get lifted?
You told on me. Yeah. I was reading my own self, girl. Reading my own self. Wrote that song and I was just like, woo. It just came out. And I was just like, woo, filthy. But it's true. It's true. And I try to sing it to people. And they're just like, ooh, this groove is good. Y'all ain't even fucking listening, man.
No, the groove is nasty. But the words, that's truth.
It's crazy. That's like, to me, that song on my record, I'm surprised people like it. Song weird.
Mm-hmm.
That song is weird.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I appreciate that. And yeah, that's what this song's all about. It's just like, what am I doing? And why am I sitting here complaining? Because what the hell am I doing right now? I'm just thinking about what the world owes me.
That's right.
Meanwhile, just sitting, you know.
Little Richard said, there's a blessing in the lesson.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, yep.
Absolutely. And like, the older I get, the more kind of cool I get about it. I'm just like, okay, you know, there's something to this. And with time, with experience, this is all going to make sense. It's going to be okay. You know what I mean? I feel like the older I get, which I ain't even that old. You know, I'm just trying to tell you podcast listeners, I ain't that old at all. I'm young. But I just get more chilled out. That's all I'm trying to say.
I feel that too. You know, the things that I cared about at 24 don't bother me none now.
I don't even remember being 24.
I don't even remember either, but I remember being pressed about a lot.
Yeah, I don't even know what I was thinking about.
I don't know. You talked about growing up in Alabama. your maternal grandmother, Ruby, she got you into Little Richard, Elvis, mm-hmm. the Crystals,
mm-hmm.
and then your paternal grandmother, mm-hmm. Or Helen, she got you into yeah. Ray Charles, Uther Vandross, Teddy Pendergrass. How was navigating both sides of the color line as a child and seeing the relationship that music played in people's lives, how did that give you a better understanding of the South and the people and of yourself?
We don't have time to answer that. But I will say, growing up mixed in the South was interesting. When I'm hanging out with my Black side, I'm right at home. I got brown skin, mixed right in. Nobody really questions it until my cousin would get mad at me. And then she'd be like, "You ain't even full Black." You know what I mean?
Ooh.
And I would get so mad. You know, she would call
it. Words.
Oh, we were little kids, you know. And then on my white side, it was just like, you know, obviously we didn't talk about race or being Black or anything like that. But my mother was the one who told me all about Roots. You know what I'm saying? We sat down and watched the whole Roots miniseries. My mom made me do it. I was like, "Mom, I don't want to watch that old stuff." She's like, "It's important." We watched Amistad.
Ooh.
Yeah. My white mother was the one, like, "You need to know where you come from and you need to know what your people went through." You know what I'm saying?
Like, so it's kind of Alabama.
It was kind of funny like that. Both sides of my family have been in the same town for, like, I don't know, 150 years. So that's Athens, Alabama is our little stop, you know?
Right.
Growing up was difficult because I would say I definitely felt like other. Where's my space and who's telling my story? There wasn't nobody.
Right.
You know, that's what it felt like. Because, you know, when you're a teenager, you're going through that moment where you just want to fit in.
Yeah.
And you just want your assigned category. But at the same time, you're like, but don't put me in a box, but I do want to fit in. But, like, don't label me because, you know, it was like that.
Yeah, you don't want to be boxed down, but you want to belong.
I know. It's so funny. It's so funny looking back on it all because when you're a teenager, you're like, that's the most important thing is your identity.
Right. And your brand.
I know. And you're like, I dress like this because it's my identity. But so does, like, I don't know, 2 million other people.
That's right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Oh, God. I'm cringing just thinking about some of my outfits.
I don't even want to talk about it. Skip. Fast forward.
Next question, please. But, you know, it's interesting. You talk about being so othered. I feel like the more you're othered, the more you're able to see things that other people that necessarily belong, they can't see. Your song Goat Head about, you know, that violent attack where someone left a goat head was in your daddy's car because he was married to a white woman.
But what I want to know is who slashed my dad's ties and put a goat head in the bag? I guess I wasn't supposed to know that. Too bad.
You were talking about how when you learned that story, it gave you a new set of eyeballs.
Mm-hmm.
It gave you the ability to see, you know, your surroundings differently.
Yes. And that's important because I went so long with everything right in front of me being of this color and not realizing that I was living in a racist place.
Mm.
So you can do it too. All these conservative people who got backwards thoughts and don't want to progress and don't want things to change, you too can see. You know, I'm sure they ain't listening to your show, but, you know, maybe pass it. The people who are listening, you can say that to your relatives because it don't make no sense no more because life's all about change. If you fight to change, you're just going to get left behind. You got to let things change.
You said that the South is a place where scars can heal and progress can be made. And I think about that, if only we are brave enough to look at it, to see.
Yes. Everybody has their hard truth to swallow. Like, for these people, it's like, for these more conservative people who don't believe that, you know, Black Lives Matter, your hard pill to swallow is to put yourself in somebody else's shoes. You're going to have to do that to get out of your life and reality, that your perception. And for us, it's loving those people anyway. Mm. Mm. And being kind to them. Because even if their guy lost, you know, we still got to live with them. We still got to live with each other. Like, I don't want to fight. This is not a pun. I don't want to fight with them no more, though.
Don't want to fight them more.
I don't want to fight them. It's too much energy, man. Like, I want to create. Right. And anybody who's ever changed was touched by kindness. it's not because they're like, you know what? They made fun of me enough that I'm going to take a look at what they're saying.
Right.
Yeah.
That's that kind of humanity our people have had to hold down here for daggone 500 years now.
Boy, that's not a lie.
I want to ask you a question.
Mm.
What song right now in this season of your life is giving you light?
There's a song I always go to when I'm in the dark. I go and listen to New World Coming by Nina Simone.
There's a new world coming, and it's just around the bend.
Does something to my spirit. So that's a good one. Or I just throw on Songs in the Key of Life and let that play all day long.
Good morning or evening, friends.
Yes.
That'll bring me back up. There's lots of things that have that ability. And I learned that music can change your whole perception of whatever you're doing. So if I got to go sweep my house, I better throw on something good because, you know what I'm saying, make it worth it. Come out of that sweep in a good mood at least. Yeah.
Yes. I remember my mom's Sunday morning was her cleaning day and she would put on her music, Miss okay. Jackie's music, Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, she listened to Al Jarreau, oh, wow. Basha, you know, all that stuff. That was her time.
Okay. Okay, Miss Jackie. We need a Miss Jackie's playlist. I think you should make that.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You know, I am.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do that. That's gonna be for this episode. We're gonna do Miss Jackie's playlist.
I love that.
Thank you so much for joining me today. That was special.
Well, Adia, it's so good to finally meet you. We should chill in real life. I appreciate what you're doing, what you do. I know we'll speak again soon. I know we're gonna run into each other. Thanks for having me.
Y'all, that was Brittany Howard. I do want to heavily encourage you, if you have not yet checked out Brittany's debut solo album, Jamie, I cannot recommend it enough. It is a completely different side to her artistry, to her vision, to her storytelling, to that voice. The way she uses that voice is just, oh man. Be sure to check out the episode description for a link to the essay that we referenced, The South Just Has a Thing. It's a must-read article. So my prescription for y'all this week is pretty simple. Find a Sunday, a literal Sunday, metaphorical Sunday, and make church for yourself. Pull out your waffle iron. Put on old records that transport you back to maybe a quieter part of yourself, an earlier part of yourself that you don't often commune with. Just, take yourself a Sunday. This has been Call and Response on Sonos Sound System. Thank y'all so much for joining me this week. A huge thank you to Brittany Howard for stopping by and reminding me of what's truly what. Thank you to my mama, Miss Jackie Paul Sims, for joining us today. If it wasn't for her, y'all, I would not be doing what I do.
Literally.
To hear all the music in the full version of this show, listen on Sonos Radio or find us at mixcloud.com/Sonos. Subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen. If you like the show, rate it and share it with your friends. Let us know what you like about the show. And let me know what music is meeting you in this moment. Hit us up on Instagram at Sonos Radio. I'm at Adia Victoria across all social media. I'm all ears. The show is produced by Work by Work, Scott Newman, Gemma Rose Brown, Babette Thomas, Megan Lubin, and me, Adia Victoria. The show is mixed by Sam Baer. Extra gratitude to Joe Dawson and Saida Blount at Sonos. So until next time, y'all, keep your heart and your ears wide open. Y'all be good.